running and running, running and.
In this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your necks. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect from all intellect and let the rhythm affect. Lose the inhibition, follow your intuition, free your inner soul and break away from tradition. Cause when we be out, girl, it's pulling me down. You wouldn't believe how.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. Blew the speakers out on that one. I didn't mean to do that. You want to do it again? That's probably fine.
You're the only one that can, you're literally the only person who can see how loud it was.
I'm Jamie Foxx. You're actually Ray Charles.
What?
Because I'm the only one that can see.
I get it now.
You get it now. Hey, it's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man here.
We
on
should
this,
restart it.
This chilly Tuesday. We started at 60 degrees. We've gotten to a nice 40. It's starting to feel like fall out there. And that's pretty incredible because
for
we're in the
January.
Dead of winter. It's going to be 70 degrees next week, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. Allie, mm-hmm. What was the temperature in Alaska just a couple days ago when I checked?
12.
But with
felt like 2.
Negative 2.
That does not sound enjoyable.
And snow.
It really doesn't. The snow part sounds
awesome.
I
would like the snow. I don't want it to be 12 degrees feel like 2.
Of course you do.
No.
What's wrong with you people? Anyway. Welcome to the show. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we appreciate the hell out of it. My name is Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. I was so scared I was going to say Mr. 500 or the 100 Star Man.
100 Star Man.
Because I've been going over it in my head. I feel like I haven't done it in so long. And I'm like, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up.
Didn't you guys have a show last week?
We did. Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah. But sometimes you ever just feel like you could play a video game every single day and then you get on it one day and you're like, I don't remember how to play this. What button does what? Anyway, Asa Gray's at the end of the table. He's the five-star man.
All five.
Allie Abert to the right of me.
Hello.
She is the two-eyed woman.
So.
Technically correct.
The best kind of correct.
And then to the left of me is host of Nerd Up, co-owner of the podcast, Jesse Kimball.
What's up?
How are you doing, Jesse? You feel better?
I do feel significantly better than I did on Sunday and way better than I felt yesterday. Yesterday ended up being rough.
Been a little under the weather. I've
a little bit.
Let's talk about Sunday.
Okay, what you got?
So Allie and I popped on the new show, and we're excited to hear you guys talk about Switch. And you sounded great. You sounded good. Immediately noticed the wind tunnel.
Yeah, that a lot of ambient noise in that show.
And then Asa was, I believe, in the back of the room.
he was talking from.
I was just the farthest away because it's the same setup where you're at one end of the table, I'm on the other. So.
And that's what we deduced immediately. We thought, okay, what happened? And I've done this before. If you guys are wondering why Sunday's Nerd Up sounded so weird, it's because of it's so easy to get confused when we're recording this, especially if the laptop mic is on and you don't realize it. Because we've done it before. You guys have been here when I've recorded and I'm like, I can't get. Everyone's great except one person. Why is your volume not going up? It's usually Asa. Mm-hmm. And we always wonder, why is Asa so low? It's because it's recording from the laptop and I'm right in front of the laptop. So it picks up great. And it's so easy to get that confused. And that's what happened.
Yep. And I mean, the way you record and the way I record are a little different. The final result is about the same.
Yeah.
But Asa's almost always quieter than everybody else when I record.
Mm-hmm.
So like to me, it looked normal.
Right.
And the weird thing is I've been doing Nerd Up for well over a year. And
before that, Pen a Nerd.
Yeah. Before that, Pen a Nerd. I've been doing this for nearly 2 years.
God.
Right? And in all of that time, Audacity has never defaulted to the laptop microphone.
But this was the first time you've done Audacity on the new laptop.
No, this is the second time.
Did you record a show before or did you just test?
Yeah. The one that
you were on.
I was on one?
Yeah.
Because you hosted the one and then Jesse did the next
That's
one.
That's right. Okay.
And
then, yeah. Okay.
And I had that new laptop.
So it's just a freak occurrence, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just... It's never been a thing that's been an issue.
And see, for me, it always defaults to it. So when I screw up is when I forget to change it, and that's when I realize it.
Sometimes you also forgot to plug it in.
Yeah.
So maybe I just need to disable that microphone to make sure that doesn't happen. Because like I can think of, like there is literally no reason for me to ever use that like
laptop
built-in
mic.
Microphone.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I mean, because even when I play like online on my PC, when we do play, we always use Skype or Ventrilo or something like that. So
now we use Discord,
which I haven't used yet, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do a quick plug real quick because I listen. You know, I'm a big fan of Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the things that inspired this podcast originally was Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And I listened to an episode on Sunday. It was very fascinating. I want to plug it. It was about the Cape Girardeau 1941 crash of the UFO that I've talked about on the show before. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it, didn't know what the subject was. I just kind of went in blind that night. And as I'm laying in bed, cause I kind of put it on and listen and kind of drift away. You know, that's how I want to die too, is to drift away. And I hear it's George Knapp is filling in for George Norrie, cause he's the weekend guy sometimes. George Knapp is a great journalist, by the way. Much love to him. And I hear Cape Girardeau. I think that was my phone. I hear Cape Girardeau UFO crash. My ears perk up. I'm like, oh my, wow, they're actually talking about this. They spent a good 30, 40 minutes talking about it on the show with author Paul Blake Smith. And he researched this. He talks about everything, the cover up. It was fascinating. So if you get a chance, go to Coast to Coast AM, especially if you're a local listener, you know, here in Cape Girardeau, go to coasttocoastam.com. You can listen to it on their Coast Insider. You do have to pay for that, unfortunately. If you find it through other means like YouTube or something, you know, I'm not saying that's how I listen to it, but go for it. So
that's like, it's that weird, it's the weird things that can like all of a sudden just like, oh, I'm not expecting to hear about this. Like that, the Nerdist podcast with Anthony Mackie, and they did the Villainous Grounds plug for the Community Cork Board.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, you like old buildings. And then they like in Perryville, Missouri, it's like, oh, I know that.
I know that place.
This place called Villainous Grounds. Like, oh, I know them. I've been there. I love those guys.
Yeah. And that's my shop. That's how it originally started for me too. I watched a sci-fi episode of, I don't even remember the show. It was like a UFO special hosted by Bryant Gumbel. Remember Bryant Gumbel?
I do.
And he mentioned the 1941 crash in Cape Girardeau. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a paranormal buff, you know, when it comes to stuff like this. So the fact that I didn't know about it really surprised me. And I didn't hear anything else about it until, and I've talked about it, but then, yeah, Coast to Coast covered it. So that was very cool. Make sure you go listen to that. It's fascinating. Real quick, Jesse, let me address this to you.
All right.
What is the worst band you can think of? Who makes the dumbest songs? There's one answer.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that makes Birdemic?
Yep.
Chamber of Pud?
That's it.
Okay, that was unfair.
What about the other song that I hate?
Oh, Goat and Your Mom?
Yeah.
Quack Like a Duck?
Mm-hmm.
You want that to be the intro?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right, let me rephrase the question. Who is the dumbest, who is, makes the worst music that has sold just tons of records? Like a successful artist. Because I don't know if you've checked the numbers for Chamber of Pud.
they aren't tapping any charts,
it's
are they?
It's not looking good. Yeah. By the way, Jesse, Birdemic, worst movie or best movie?
If I'm given those two options, worst movie, because that movie is atrocious.
We watched it as a joke and still regretted it.
Oh yeah. No, it was so bad. Like there are some movies that are so bad, they're funny.
Yeah.
This went past that to so bad, it was just bad.
Uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Especially considering how proud he was, like that director was.
Visionary. Mm-hmm. He said he was a visionary of the romantic erotic thriller or something.
Romantic
like that.
Thriller, I think.
Oh
was the...
my.
All right. Back to the original question. Who's the worst band?
I don't know.
You do.
Is it Nickelback? Is
I, that know. I feel like
I
that's
know.
A,
I know what band for, like you want me to say.
It's the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
It's the Black Eyed Peas. Here's why I say this. When we were playing Star Wars.
Post-Fergie, yes.
Post-Fergie?
Yeah.
I would say during Fergie. Pre-Fergie.
Oh, but I mean, when I say post-Fergie, I mean
once
like,
they got Fergie.
Wait, yeah.
Like, okay. See, I never,
after Fergie.
Never listened to them before Fergie, so I don't know if it's different. But when we were playing Star Wars Battlefront here at the store the other day, I put on a video and of Will Smith, Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing video, by the way. Just fantastic.
Well.
Stop it.
I like that movie.
Leave the memories alone.
And somehow me and Calvin got on the subject of Black Eyed Peas, and we agreed that it's music for dum-dums. And I
music for dumb.
It's music for dumb dumbs. Like, if you've ever heard the
you haven't seen The Office, have you?
I've seen some of it.
Okay, Robert California has the greatest summation of the Black Eyed Peas. And if this is where you're going with it, I apologize because he did it the best.
Oh, I probably not. So go ahead.
It's rock music for people who don't like rock music. It's hip hop for people who don't like hip hop, and it's dance for people who don't like dance.
Huh.
I would give it that. They're very catchy too.
Oh yeah, no, it's brilliantly constructed.
Brilliantly constructed. But God, to use the term brilliant with them, because I started thinking about the lyrics to their songs, and I can honestly say that they have the worst lyrics. You might not
Tonight's
like.
Tonight's the night.
Oh no,
Let's
I've got,
live it up.
I've got worse. I have a list of lyrics that you may not have heard from the Black Eyed Peas, and this is the vulgar part, but I'm going to censor it. I'm going to censor it. I'm not going to say the terrible words. I don't think Nickelback is the worst band. I actually like Nickelback.
No, I know. And I'm not doing that as a shot to Nickelback. That's just.
You thought that's where I was going.
That's just traditionally the. That's easy. You know, yeah, it's easy the answer. Easy target.
All right.
And when you said, no, you do know it, that sounded like, okay, it's an easy answer.
See, I always assumed everyone thought the Black Eyed Peas were terrible. Like, lyrics wise. Because yeah, their music's catchy.
I don't think anybody is gonna be coming to their defense.
It's one of those things, like, I know some people like it. It's like, it's the same thing with Nickelback. Like, I don't like Black Eyed Peas, but I don't hate them so much that they're on my radar. It's the same thing with like Nickelback. Like, I don't like Nickelback, but they have like maybe two songs per album.
Yeah.
That are actually listenable.
Like the Black Eyed Peas. Yeah. My Humps. Everyone knows My Humps.
Everyone
yeah.
knows that song.
And I thought My Humps was the pinnacle, no pun intended, of what their worst songs could be and worst lyrics. But let me give you some lyrics. And I'm going to say these uncensored to you guys, but I am going to beep them for the broadcast because we are trying to keep it a little family friendly. All right, so here's some of the singles here. It's going to start easy and get hard. I ain't stoopy. I know what the truth be. That's not so bad. That's not so bad.
Did stoopy? Like
stoopy.
Isn't stupid?
Like but... stupid, but a stoopy. Because they had to make it rhyme.
Well, okay.
I'ma be a brother, but my name ain't Lehman. I'ma be a bank lending out semen.
Oh dear.
Let me know when you think we should start censoring it. I'm so 3008, you're so 2000 and late. I don't even know what that one means. That one's not that bad. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Loved on a turned her to a
That's where.
Yeah. That's where. This is where we can stop.
No.
Okay, so.
I've got more.
Legitimate question. And that's fine. Why are we talking about the Black Eyed Peas now? Like, are they in the news?
No.
Did you just discover who the Black Eyed Peas are?
I think I just remembered how terrible they were and I wanted to share that with the audience. It. Yeah. This is what we do. It's random.
90% tangent.
I don't get it.
I mean.
I've got three more, but I can stop before the really good ones if that would.
I mean, I do feel like you have made the point.
But are you sure?
We get it.
Cause there's also this one. Let me f*** your ear up till my sp is up in your brain.
Huh.
Yeah, that one got a shocked look. And then my last one. Stinking like fat ladies shitting out logs. We drop enough shit and keep them toilets clogged.
Why?
Well, okay.
That's all. Like, there's no point to what I'm saying to this. It's just, I thought it was funny.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of funny.
But more, it's like you guys are more uncomfortable than funny.
It's just sad.
I just don't really know what to say.
Yeah. You don't say anything. I kind of thought one of you would at least, like, come to their defense. I really did. I thought one of you would go, well, it's pop music. I mean, it's not supposed to be intelligent. It's just catchy.
I mean, a lot of that catchy music isn't, like, great stuff. Like,
I love Kesha. I love Kesha. Kesha has terrible lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you would think that Kesha is pop music with bad lyrics. But Kesha never sold like the Black Eyed Peas. These guys are huge. And the lyrics are so bad. I just don't know if anyone's ever taken the time to actually process how bad.
Probably not, because it's catchy. What's that one, like, super upbeat song from the 90s that everyone loves? Like, they always mention, like, oh, that's one of my favorite songs. But then when you look at it, it's just like, oh, no, this is upsetting.
Well,
because it's so, it's such a bummer.
Are you talking about?
Not Blind Melon.
Into the Ocean?
No. Cause but that's another example.
That's a great song.
That's another example of it's like, oh no, that's a really good song. And then you listen to the lyrics and you're just like, yeah, you're just, it's,
well, while you're thinking of that.
Dalton just sent it to me.
While you're thinking of that.
Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. Yeah.
Okay.
Cause it's so upbeat and quick.
Yeah.
And you don't listen to the lyrics cause you can't understand the lyrics cause he's singing so fast.
I'd have to hear the song, honestly.
Pull up the lyrics of it and I think it's that
do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do.
Are you talking about the...
Not ringing any bells.
The hurricane to something to something else. I don't know the words, but it's...
Something through my nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
It's not a happy song, but it's so just upbeat and catchy.
I've got the lyrics pulled up here.
No one noticed.
I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm smiling. She's living. She's golden. She lives for me. She says she lives for me. Ovation, her own motivation. She comes around and she goes down on me and I make her smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you want to do. Coming over you. Keep on smiling. What we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. Yeah. Cause basically, oh, here's chop another line like a coda with a curse. Come on like a freak show takes the stage. We give them the games we play. She said, but basically it's basically about him doing drugs and how miserable he is. And, yeah. And talking about bumping coke and then bumping again. Yeah.
And then it's, but it's wrapped in this super upbeat, yeah, happy, yeah, song that.
I mean, when this song comes on the radio, I sing along to it. Up till the part where he starts talking about the coda in his nose and stuff, because I didn't know what it was at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I also didn't know that Baby It's Cold Outside was a date rape song. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a sweet Dean Martin song that I used to listen to until Allie, of all people, is the one that told me, well, no, that song's super creepy. And I was like, no, well, it's not. It's a Christmas classic.
It wasn't written. I don't think it was written with that intent.
Yeah.
It's just whenever you kind of put it into context today, of like everything else that we know about society today, yeah, and yeah, you're just like, yeah, oh yeah, no, maybe. Maybe don't say it like that.
And then, and oddly enough, my Spotify has taken that song off now. Like the Dean Martin version that I have in my Christmas folder, mm-hmm, it's gone. Like it's grayed out. You can't listen to it anymore. And it was almost immediately after she told me that. And I know it's just coincidental.
I control Spotify.
You don't even know what Spotify
put
is.
Put the Snakes on the Plane soundtrack back on there.
Such a good soundtrack. Coheed and Cambria is on that.
I do love Coheed.
Just like the remixes of stuff, but yeah, it's amazing.
All right, but
I'll see what I can do.
If we're talking about like catchy lyrics that have gotten really stupid popular and that are really terrible, I present to you Lil Jon.
I mean, any rap is cheating.
Yeah. Like, well, you'd be hard pressed to find a rapper that like has really well thought out, meaningful lyrics. What did I
do? Donald Glover. Childish Gambino.
And honestly, a lot of
I'm not just saying that because I really like him. And it is very crass. Like he goes real blue, but a lot of the other stuff that he like raps about is legitimately like, oh no, he's just kind of telling his story.
Yeah. Hobson. Have you ever listened to Hobson? Mm-hmm. Great artist and very intelligent, but they don't really get as much playtime as, you know,
and a lot
Little
of early
John.
Kanye.
Kanye's.
Early Kanye, yeah. Early
some of his stuff was brilliant. Yeah, yeah, it really was.
But, I mean, Tupac was always really crass.
He was, like, but he also
it always just sounded really good.
Yeah, he was a smart guy.
Yeah.
That's why I'm filling my things
here. Him and Biggie both were.
Yeah, Biggie was really good. Like, yeah, it was the same thing. It was like really crass, but it was still just, but it had a good sound to it.
They were products of their environment. Yeah, you know, that's like true. When you grow up like that, like when you guys first met me, I said the N-word a lot. I did. And that's just how I grew up. Like I grew up saying that word with people, like not on, let me clarify, not on the like, bigot side, but on the, I grew up in an urban neighborhood. I grew up with a lot of black people. That's what we called each other. I didn't realize until later that I probably shouldn't say that word. And by then, sometimes it still comes out and I don't even think about it.
Yes, I know you and Bob say it a lot.
We do. Cause, you know, we're both from the same area and that's just a word we said to each other and to black people. And they said it to us and it was friendly. It was one of those things that we thought that's how we talked to each other. And it wasn't until I got to like, you know,
when you're out of that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That I realized
you're surrounded by, you're talking to people who don't say that.
Honestly, it was when I started dating.
Or don't know that you say that.
I dated a girl named Holly and when I met her family and they, like found my webpage because everybody had a personal webpage back then, mm-hmm, and I would post stuff and my lyrics.
GeoCity or
Angel Fire.
Angel Fire.
Angel
that was the other
Fire. Angel Fire.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Right. But they saw that and they didn't quite appreciate like the gangster slang that I use. So I tried to clean up my act a little bit, but it still slips through.
Yeah.
It still slips. Let's stop talking about the Black Eyed Peas. That's unimportant. I do have one bit of important thing. Asa, did you read that article that I sent you?
I didn't. I was actually really busy tonight.
That's fine. I've got the important parts listed right here. I actually did notes tonight. I'm honestly surprised myself.
I have notes for the Switch stuff.
Good, because I don't have notes. I just have, like, bullet
feelings.
Points. Yeah. So this is from KFVS12.com, and they got it from a study.
I like that Allie's just immediately shaking her head.
Is it because the one you talked about yesterday?
Yes, oh it is. God. It's the study that's hardly a study.
I'm going to read this straight. This is straight from KFVS12.com. A new study says that kids who frequently engage with superhero culture are more likely to be aggressive. Published in the Journal of Abnormal Child Psychology, the study consisted of 240 children whose parents responded to questions about the level of engagement their children had with superheroes. Included were questions about how often their children watched superhero media and how they identified with various superheroes. Family life professor Sarah Coyne and her team from Brigham Young University at Utah found that children with high levels of reported engagement in superhero culture were more likely to be both physically and relationally aggressive 1 year later. Physical aggression includes behavior such as hitting, kicking, or biting others, while relational aggression involves excluding others and threatening to withdraw friendship. Further, the researchers found that children with frequent engagement in superhero culture were not more likely to defend kids who were being bullied, nor were they more likely to be pro-social. And last, Coyne also published a study last year that suggested children exposed to, quote, Disney princess media were more likely to display stereotypical feminine behavior. There's a lot to digest there, but
my biggest two problems with it immediately, the sample size was 240 kids
in
Utah.
in Utah, 240 kids in Utah, like just one area in Utah. And on top of that, they weren't studying the kids. They were asking the parents.
That's the part that gets me, parents' opinions
on their children.
And the reason, okay.
So was it because I know they said they asked the parents like how much superhero
stuff
they watched. So was it through, were they also asking the parents like, oh, you know,
how
aggressive do you rate your child? Or is it they looking at like school records and
I'm assuming they asked the parent. Like,
yeah, the way they made it sound, they asked the parent everything.
They don't word, maybe like the actual study
is a little smarter.
Clarifies that better. Yeah. But yeah, the way that they're reporting that makes it sound like
but
it's
still 240 kids for a study is nothing.
Yeah, 240, like a sample size of 240 does not a study make.
That genuinely
it's a drop in the hat.
Surprises me that that would get published.
I mean, KFBS 12.
I'm talking about the study itself.
The journal.
It probably hasn't actually been published. Someone is probably presenting it for a thesis argument at Brigham Young University.
Well, do you remember the, John Oliver thing that he did probably about a year ago where he talked about all of the different studies that they do that are so meaningless and so bad? Do you remember that episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This goes back to that for me. This is another study of some random thing that somebody thought of. The data's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it almost certainly hasn't actually been published. Like, I would even, like I said, thesis argument. It's more than likely probably an undergrad project.
Well, this woman, apparently, Sarah Coyne is, I don't know if she's actually a professor or what, but she, has done studies before. Like, she's published in this journal before. So I think she's, I don't want to say a legit researcher because I don't know the exact terms. I don't want to sound stupid here. But I don't think she's like an undergraduate or somebody that's, you know what I mean? Like, I think she's something in the field.
Eh.
But I don't know for sure because they didn't state it as far as I can tell. But my big problem with what Asa said is that they didn't actually study anything. They just asked the parents, well, what does your kid watch? And then how is he? Because we here at Podzilla 1985, I don't think there's a single one of us that aren't superhero fans.
Honestly,
and grew up with it.
I don't know a single child under the age of 10 that doesn't love those movies.
Yeah, and superheroes in general. And this is the same day I saw, well, the day after I saw this, I saw that damn video I posted on, I don't know if you guys saw it on Facebook, of the 6-year-old that was shot to death by a 14-year-old on the playground. About a week or so ago.
I did not
see
that.
His funeral, he was such a big fan of superheroes. His funeral, his mom said, I don't want you to dress in black because there's going to be kids there. Everybody dress up like their favorite hero. So you have all these heroes here.
Is that the one where the Batman is giving the eulogy?
Yes. And one,
yeah,
tears.
I avoided that video.
You are right to do so because I sat in here at the store on the clock with tears in my eyes. And that's when I posted it today. But you see that and then you hear this study about how superheroes are. She said they're not bad, just in moderation. Well, of course, everything in moderation is good.
Yeah.
But plus, man, don't give superheroes a bad rap. Don't give Superman a bad rap.
Which, I mean, and to be fair, like, and maybe I'm not the best sample size, but how many times have I said when I'm Superman, like, no. Just, bye.
Full injustice.
Yeah. So, I mean, great power, great responsibility. Blah, blah, blah.
But if you look at it that way, isn't everything in life going to be bad for kids?
Probably.
You know, like the only thing that's like good for kids that is just good are like the younger kids shows like Dora the Explorer or
McStuffins and VeggieTales.
Yeah, stuff like that. But that stuff does not teach kids about what life is like. You can't
honestly
tell kids everything's going to be good forever.
The superhero stuff, in my opinion, is the best because the kids are going to watch violent media.
Yeah.
Like that's going to happen. Like I know when I was a kid, I was like Power Rangers and all this
stuff. Absolutely.
Like anything where people are fighting was fun for me to watch when I was a kid. And I feel like superhero movies are the best case out of that because you get like you know, help people, stop the bad guys, do good. You can't ask for much better than that.
Well, that's part of the study that said that kids are not, that look at superhero media are not
less likely.
Yeah,
he said less likely.
Was it less likely or not more likely?
Not more likely.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't even less likely. It was just like, oh, well, I mean.
But again.
Yeah, they're watching this stuff where you're supposed to save the day. Well, these kids aren't saving the day. Yeah. Fight or flight. Like.
But you're asking the parents.
And, exactly. And think
like, how do they know?
Like, you would love to think that, like, when you were in grade school, like, you see the kid getting picked on, that you would want to go up and, you know, say something. But in real life.
Yeah.
You stick your neck out, you're different. It's the tall blade of grass gets cut.
Not only that, but when
it's, oh, well, I mean, I'd rather them pick on him than me.
Yeah, when I was in high school, because I went to a bad high school, if you saw someone getting bullied, and I never came to anyone's defense, I wish I had, you know, in hindsight, but the thought process then, and it's very true, was if one kid's getting his ass beat and you want to jump in and protect him, you know what you got now?
Two kids
getting their ass beat. Yeah. So I'm not really going to help him unless I'm just deflecting some of the shots.
And, you know, I'm not speaking from personal experience because no school that I went to had any sort of bullying problem.
Yeah.
That, at least that I, you know, saw.
I feel like I want to say that I would have when I was a kid. Like if I saw like a group of guys like beating up on a kid, like I want to say that I would go and help, but that literally never happened. Yeah. Like the only fights that ever occurred when I was a kid was just one on one. Like, two kids really got into it and they started, you know, beating on each other. And then a teacher, some sort of like official would come up and break it up. So it's not like I ever saw a whole lot of actual bullying happening back in the day.
And we all grew up with superheroes, I'd say, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know
Did. Oh, I definitely did.
Yeah. I think superheroes give a positive message. Like, one of the things that I read that I didn't post on here, but I'll just say, was that they feel that kids, especially younger kids, can't comprehend the complexity of comic book storylines, and all they pay attention to is the violence. They don't get the reasonings. They only get the use violence to solve things. And that is true. But again, what media isn't
that
way?
But that's just media. I mean, like, not to turn it into PW, but look at how many times the bad guy comes out, states his case, like, this is why I don't like this person. I don't like John Cena because he's, you know, he's not here all the time and he just does this and does that. And what is John Cena's response?
Violence.
To punch you in the face.
Yeah.
Yay! You shut him up, like.
And they wonder why people will never respect wrestling as a real form of entertainment.
Right.
For reasons like that.
It's like, well, no, he's using actual valid points and logic.
And this doesn't matter how much they do for like charity and stuff. That's still the product they present.
Right.
So I think superheroes are getting bad rap on this and I just hope it doesn't take off.
It almost certainly won't. KFVS12 is notorious for posting just trash articles, like for filler pieces.
You and I have been on there many times.
They will also, because my mom was asked multiple times to take questions about subjects that she knows about, and they bring up studies, and she would just answer, that study does not have a large enough sample size, that study does not really prove anything, let's move on.
Yeah, I hate studies in general.
Nobody answered the question, though. We just need the sound
bite. No, move on. That's what my mom would just be like, we're done. Bye.
And I honestly, like, I have KFES12 unfollowed on Facebook. Like, it won't even show up on my timeline.
The only time I see it is when somebody else comments.
And it's not because of the articles. It's because the comments.
Oh, every the comments time, are terrible.
Anytime anything shows up on my timeline, it never fails to just evolve into everything I hate about this area.
Oh, yeah. Jesse and I, what was it that they were posting about on KFES12 that one time? And you and I got, oh, it was the, was it the rally in Jackson? For, Klan rally or whatever. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't a Klan rally. It was a Heritage rally.
Heritage festival or whatever.
Yeah,
because Jesse and I went on there and just, like, I started it and then Jesse jumped in and Jesse obliterated them. I quit. I'm like, okay, you know what?
This, tag out.
But Jesse doesn't tag out.
Sometimes I get bored and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna see how far I can take this.
And he takes it pretty far.
But no, I mean, like,
those people were mad.
A lot of times they don't have a whole lot to say once you throw, cause it seems like a lot of people that wave around Heritage don't really, like, they've never heard the Cornerstone speech.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest one. You throw that at them, they're like, oh. Whew.
Goes that, home and quietly takes down that rebel flag.
But beside that.
But other than that. Oh, you mean other than where they say their entire, never mind.
Aside from history.
We've done that show.
We have done that show. Go back and listen to it.
But no, like the only time I ever see it is usually actually when either Shannon comments on it or somebody else does. Because the last one I saw was actually, I don't remember. Oh, it was one of Hunter's friends. That added me, like, after.
Was this about the teaching?
This was about, like, the school cop, the school resource officer or whatever, slamming the 12-year-old girl into the pavement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't see that KFES12 post because I also generally try to avoid them.
Yeah. Well, see, I saw that one get pulled up because I think one of Hunter's friends is a DARE officer, I want to say, like somewhere in Missouri. This happened in like North Carolina or something like that. It was completely out of state and KFVS12 posted it. And it was basically some kid in that cafeteria had like took out their phone and, did like a Snapchat of it. Like, it wasn't like a Facebook Live. It wasn't a big recording. It was just
this is that video that went all viral of the, it was like a African American girl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a little black girl
just got picked up and slammed into the pavement. There was no weapon. Like, I never did follow up to see where they went with that story. The officer was in trouble. I know that.
That's because as soon as you get angry about one story, something inevitably happens and you get angry about that and then you, and that's just journalism. Like, that's the point of journalism is to make you forget some things and present new things to upset you.
See, I just.
Does anybody remember Killer Bees? That was huge when I was a teenager.
I remember there was a movie about it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So who's got the Ebola? Remember Ebola?
SARS.
I do remember Ebola.
Anthrax. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh no, Ebola's my favorite because it's literally like, okay, so these people who can't take care of themselves and are being fed bad information on how to handle their loved ones who get infected in Africa it is an epidemic in Africa. I'm taking nothing away from that. It has killed too many people. But for people in Cape Girardeau, Missouri to be trying to like, I'm keeping my kid home from school. So one person in Texas has it. That means it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Walking Dead. Like,
those
one
people just absolutely do not understand how Ebola works.
One person in Texas has it on Monday. It's going to be Walking Dead season 4 by Thursday.
It's that Simpsons part with Kent Brockman where, what's the death count to on the Ebola? Well, it's a 0 so far, but that could change at any moment. Damn you, Ebola!
Yeah, it's just that, like, that's the one that always gets me. But everywhere's reporting it like it's this, you know, this is the looming threat. Like,
that's because that is the job of the media, is to make you scared to where you feel like you have to watch to know what's going on. That is why I hate the mainstream ratings media. See, it's all about ratings.
And that's the problem too, is so now with all this like fake news coming out and, you know,
people are getting paranoid over things that don't exist, like for real don't exist now. Mm-hmm. Not even that,
just like, okay, so you know, you have CNN who generally is a reliable news source.
Yes.
People are calling into question their integrity, and then you want to be able to defend them, but then you look at how they handled the Ebola scare.
Yeah.
How they handled that missing plane.
MH370?
The Malaysian plane, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Which, by the way, they closed the book on it.
Did they finally?
Today. They said that we don't know, and they're not going to investigate anymore. One of the biggest mysteries of all time.
Yeah, and then there was the whole where CNN effectively called like all black people felons.
Well, that was Trump.
No, it was both. But like, did you not hear about this? Like, it was a while back.
I mean, they've done lots of things. It's hard to keep track of it.
It was something like Trump didn't want felons to be able to vote. Was the problem. And then CNN spun it like
Trump doesn't want black people to vote.
Trump doesn't want black people to vote because he doesn't want
felons to vote. Black people felons.
Yeah. And it's boy, did the alt-righters take hold of that and just run.
And to be fair, that's a terrible thing to like.
It was a terrible phrasing.
It's awful phrasing. If you're trying to spin it like that, it's, you know, we talked about it either last week or the last couple of weeks where it's, you know, We tend to make, because we're on the left, like, we make fun of the alt-right and the right for, you know, grabbing onto any little fake piece of information that they hold onto. And both sides are just as guilty of it.
Yeah.
Like, it happens everywhere. Oh, it's just fact check. Again, well, Superman.
Like, the phrasing they wanted to use was like, well, Trump doesn't want felons to vote, which because of the systemic racism of the criminal justice system means that it's going to impact the black voters. But
they skipped that middle part with all the actual information.
And then they just went straight to, yeah.
And that's really a shame because there's so many news sources available to people, but almost every single news source has an agenda or a side they lean to. Mm-hmm. And when people are out there looking for news that validates their personal beliefs, that gets dangerous. Yeah. Like Breitbart.com.
I was about to say Breitbart.
Yeah.
Like, done.
So you need places you can go for legitimate news that doesn't have, because that's the role of a journalist, is supposed to be to report the news, not to give opinions. Yeah. The problem with that is that people enjoy the opinions. People want to be validated.
Well, it's,
so they watch stuff that validates them, and nobody wants to see just a plain, boring Tom Brokaw giving you the news of the day.
And I'm at the point where it's like, it almost feels like it's impossible for that to even exist anymore. Like, everyone editorializes.
Yeah.
And even if it's, you know, blatant or not, like, remember when Obama met with Putin a few months ago?
Yeah.
And the one picture you saw was them just angrily glaring
at each
other. The
miserable picture, yeah.
But you don't see the two pictures before it or the four pictures after it where they're actually both, like, smiling and laughing.
Or when...
Because those pictures are there. They got released. Mm-hmm. But no one chose to run those pictures.
Or when Obama met Trump. And yeah, the picture you saw was of them just like Obama almost looking like, oh, my God, what's happening?
Yeah.
But what you don't see are all the pictures of them talking to where apparently they actually had a good rapport with each other.
Right.
But no, but nobody wants that. They want trash. They do. So that's a shame. Speaking of trash, let's throw all that out the table. Let's talk about some real trash. The Nintendo Switch.
Presentation.
That's what you guys came here for. No, I'm talking about everything with the Switch. See, I wasn't there on Sunday for you guys to talk about the Switch. I have some things to say.
You did not leave us much time to talk about it.
30 minutes. Is that not enough?
No. On Sunday, it started with like, okay, we got 30 minutes to talk about the Switch. There's still about an hour 10.
Hour 6 minutes. That was like...
to be fair. If you want to know more, go back and listen to Nerd Up, because you guys did a great segment on the Switch. You talked a lot about it. So there's a lot of stuff you guys have already covered. I want to talk about some of the stuff that you didn't cover and some personal thoughts.
Yeah. So importantly, if you want to skip like their other stuff, it starts almost right at 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
Right.
You shouldn't skip it because it's great. We cover a lot of comic book and movie news.
But Billy was cool on.
Stuff. And Billy was on.
30 minutes in.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. So, I'll just start off and I'll keep it clean. And I'll talk about the things that I don't like, and then we can get to the presentation you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. Just one thing I want to talk about is 1-2 Switch. Can we talk about 1-2 Switch for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, why?
Because it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen when it comes to video games.
It's so terrible. I don't want to get mad about it.
How are people not jaded about Nintendo yet? How is it that, I don't know what's happening over there.
Don't worry about it.
How is it that people are still excited about the Nintendo Switch? Because they've given you nothing. People out there that are loving Nintendo, you got the Breath of the Wild trailer, which looked good.
And that's all people need, apparently. That's all people need.
Guilty.
But no, because then go watch 1-2 Switch, another game that they're going to hype. They're going to hype this game. This game that you literally just take your handles. And depending on which game you play, you don't really play a game. You squeeze.
No, there's nothing on the screen. I mean, there's the video of how to do because there's 4 or 5 mini games.
Yeah.
And then, so they show the tutorial video is on the screen. And then they have the terrible, terrible actors.
Yes.
On the screen. But that's it. Everything else is done face to face.
And it tells you, like, it gives you the time up, like, you know, like that's finished. And then they count up, like, how you did.
Yeah.
And for the one game,
and
one of them looks pretty cool. The quick draw game.
Because I would definitely pay $10 for that quick draw game.
Yeah, that's a fun arcade game. $3-4 you buy on the Nintendo shop. That's cool. The one that got me at first, and I thought it would be the top one, is this freaking Milk game. And by the way, the game is called because then I saw Copy Dance.
That one's awesome.
What about the eating contest?
But Milk. Milk is the one that I saw first, and that's the one I didn't watch the presentation for the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in this blind. I got on Facebook the next day and I looked up something and there was a GIF of those people milking the cow. And I thought to myself, okay, this must be like a silly little thing that they did for it. No, that is the actual tutorial video. That's in game. These guys that are dressed up in overalls and giggling and dancing around, this fat guy that's just, well, he's not really dancing so much as he's waving his arms.
Yeah.
Because he can't really get up.
I mean, they're both sitting down. They're getting ready to start milking a cow. He's having a good time.
And they're so excited that she milked the most cow.
And he's so darn upset.
But they're looking like they're having a great time. They're looking like they're playing Mario 3 for the first time. But they're not.
Yeah, this is a revolutionary gaming experience that they cannot believe that they're lucky enough to be a part of.
Best new party game ever.
And that boggles my mind. I thought to myself, I'm not going to say it, but effing Nintendo was my first thought.
But you know what?
This is what you're doing? Really?
At least you don't need an extra set of Joy-Cons for it. it's only 2-player.
Thank God. So I thought that was the dumbest one. Then we saw, and I wish I could talk more about it, about the Milk thing, because I really do feel like that is how, I think either you or Jesse said it, that's how they see American gamers.
I did say that, but that's not what I thought about the milking game. I meant the actors in general, in every single one of those segments. The dude in the tank top and the bandana.
Yeah.
Doing the quick draw. The guy eating the sandwich, like the bodybuilder looking dude, like, and the way he celebrated, like, is that what they think every household that buys one of these things is going to be?
Right.
Are these terrible overacting, like, and I get it, it's a choice that they made, but why?
And they're paying people to pretend like it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, and do you remember when the week?
That looked like take 80. Like,
well, they kept giving him more money.
I'm blanking on the director who made everybody do 150 takes.
What movie?
I can't even think of his movie. Shining. The guy who directed
Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick.
Did you say Shia LaBeouf?
No. I started to say Shia, and then I was like, no, not The Shining.
Oh, Shyamalan. Okay, gotcha.
And I was like, wait, no. The Shining was not Shyamalan.
That reminded me of Stanley Kubrick. Like, okay, this is day three. This was supposed to be, all five of those videos were supposed to be done in an afternoon.
Right.
But this guy had an artistic direction. This is day three. Those actors haven't been paid. They haven't slept.
He wanted to see the excitement, and they weren't capturing it just right.
This was a Fallout Vault-style psychological experiment he was trying to push on these people.
And see, to me, it looked like they did one take.
Also fair. It's one or the other.
Yeah. They came in for an afternoon of recording. Nintendo cut them a check for $100.
They did their, you know, they got their complimentary bottle of water that was laced with LSD.
Yeah. Well, how else
okay,
do they look
one
so
take,
excited?
Here we go, we're done. You know what? That one sounds more likely.
Much more plausible.
And then there was copy dance.
Which, that one I don't understand.
I don't either, because it looks like it doesn't matter what you do. People are doing these, like, really, extravagant movements and stuff, mm-hmm. but
To me like all you needed to do was move the Joy-Con in the same way that it got moved, and it actually measures like how accurate you were to moving it, because the Joy-Cons do, in fairness, unlike the Wii Remote, support three-dimensional motion.
Right.
The way it looks. So it actually does, you know,
you
it's able to tell.
Cubes.
Oh my. It's actually able to tell if you went like, you know, to, from, away, left, right, etc. So unlike Just Dance on the Wii.
Where you just kind of wave.
All you have to do is kind of wave it in the general direction. It's fine. But yeah, like, this looks like you have to actually match that. But like, it doesn't matter what you do with the rest of your body. Like, yeah, I could watch you do this like whole flip spin around. I'm like, okay, so he did this with the Joy-Con and this. And basically, for those of you not seeing this visual gag.
He's going left and right and then up and down.
Yeah. To me, it's one of those things that's like, yeah, you can do that, but you're not going to. It's like, you remember when the Wii came out? One of the first videos they showed was from Metroid. And what they do in Metroid, the guy had the gun, or he was aiming, and he was diving behind his couch. He was like actually making these movements like, oh, I'm really there. Yeah, you can do that, but you're not going to.
But why would you?
And if you're going to do that, just do it. You don't need a gun con to copy a dance of somebody.
Right.
Have one of your friends judge it. It's not a $50 pack-in.
Not a pack-in.
I'm sorry.
$50.
It's a $50
so
tech demo.
I don't know the video that you posted, because I watched all of the day two things, so I didn't need to see anymore because I saw everything. Did you see the one where the guy was like, the guy did the Hadouken and then the girl was just doing yoga poses?
Yeah. That's the pre-video. Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, she won. Why? There looked like there was no difference. So I don't understand how this is going to gauge
it. Whenever she did the yoga moves, and honestly, this is an honest response to that. Like, my best guess, because I was trying to figure it out too, he wasn't as flexible as her, so he couldn't get the same movements. So his percentage completion was lower than hers. Like, she was closer to getting the motion completely right than he was. Because whenever we saw another gameplay video of it, it actually showed, like, percentages at the end. And like, one person got like 69% and the other person got like 80 something percent.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's kind of what it did too at the end when they did theirs. Like, okay, yeah, he's at a certain percentage.
I think we're talking about the same video.
Yeah,
honestly,
that might have been the same one.
Seems like it.
And it seems like the host didn't even know what to do or what was engaged.
They definitely, like, they were confused. Was just like, that's why I think he just went down into the Hadouken initially. Yeah. And that's why she just did yoga poses.
Yeah, it was terrible and embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how people aren't watching this, especially when you see the damn. Was it just called Eat or Food?
It was eating contest.
When you see eating contest, where you hold the thing a couple of feet from your mouth. A
couple inches, yeah.
Yeah, and then when it says go, you just move your mouth. Yeah.
Like, you just open and close your mouth as fast as possible.
Yes, yep.
And it judges, like, in every four, like, every time you do it, it counts as one quarter of a sandwich. And I try to do quarter and fourth. one quarter of a sandwich. And then whoever eats the most sandwiches, and it's a one-person one, because only one of the Joy-Cons has the camera.
Right.
And people are excited about it. Not that game in particular, but the 1-2 Switch. I've heard lots of people say.
And that's the thing that's driving me nuts, is that's literally the only thing that people are bummed about, it looks like. Like, the subreddit, if you go, like, one of the top posts the other day was someone like, you know what, I can't believe it, motion controls, blah, blah, they're tearing it down. But then the end, it's like, yeah, the Wii is going to be a total failure. And it was like, it was the top thing on that subreddit. Like, yeah, people are so negative. Like, how can you not be?
Yeah.
Did you not see, like.
Cause this reminds me of Wii Music. Remember Wii Music when they, Miyamoto and the guys.
Did that ever come out?
Yeah, yeah, it did. And it was like stupid popular for a day. And then they, you know, nobody bought it again. I remember how many copies they sent us at GameStop.
We had stacks.
Stacks of new copies. Like, they sent us like 50 new copies. We had maybe 3 pre-orders.
Because it was terrible, because it was pointless. And that's what 1-2 Switch is. And I don't understand. After the Wii, after the Wii U, mm-hmm. now Nintendo's new gimmick, which we all thought maybe it won't be a gimmick. And we were excited the first time we saw it, because it looks cool.
See, and this
it looked cool.
And this is where we split, because Dalton and I were very strongly, no, everything about this is dumb. From day one. Like, I'm not excited about anything involving this. And then, like, you guys were more optimistic about it.
This cautiously optimistic.
There you go.
That's my favorite phrase for me and Shannon.
So, but then after that first presentation, the hardware itself, I'm sold on it. Like,
the hardware looks great.
That is
it looks cool
piece of hardware.
I mean, yeah, we don't know the specs. We don't know the battery life, really. We don't know.
2.5 to 6 hours.
Yeah, they told us, like, they gave us the battery life specs.
What's the specs on the system?
That one we don't have a whole lot of
32 gigs memory, which it's cartridge based, so that's not a huge. Even though Breath of the Wild for the Wii U, even if you have the physical disc,
3 gig,
it's a download on the
mandatory install.
Yep,
which for me would have been terrible.
If you had one of those 5 gig systems,
8 gig,
eight gig
with like a 5 gig day one patch.
Yep,
remember. Yeah, Shannon was really, because Shannon he wasn't gonna get a Wii U, wasn't gonna do it. And, on the day it came out, he's like, you know what? No, I gotta have one. So he went out and everywhere trying to find one.
I didn't. Lindsay did.
That's right.
Because I was working at Shoe Carnival.
Yeah. So
and
Lindsay,
I was contacting Lindsay the whole time. Like, do you find one yet? Well, they have an 8 gig. Get it.
That'll be fine.
So then Shannon invited me over, cause he was like, all right, I got the Wii U. It's at home.
Yeah.
Like, come on over. We're going to mess with this thing. So as soon as he popped it out of the box though, hooks it up. All right. There's a download.
What? Gigs.
Yeah, it was a 5 gigabyte download. And Shannon was like, I only have an 8 gig hard drive.
Again, so after that, I am out. I'm not getting the Switch. And everyone keeps going, you'll get it. You're going to get it. No, I'm not. What was the hell was that? Did you guys see that?
No.
Okay.
Was it light?
Yeah.
There was a car behind.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. That freaked me out. But yeah, I'm not getting the Switch. I'm not getting it. I might get it later when more games come out.
See, and that was my thing, is it's like, you know what? Christmas time, when it comes bundled with Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. Or Breath of the Wild, or there's a special edition system. Something.
And that's the thing. It's like, we've talked about it. One of my gaming sins is I'm not a huge Zelda person.
I love Zelda, but I can't play the game.
And I will say, this game looks awesome.
It does.
Like, it really
Skyrim
does.
Skyrim Zelda.
A lot of people are calling it Hyrim.
Yes.
I like Hyrim.
Hyrim.
It looks different enough that I would probably pick it up eventually. But it's not near strong enough of a draw for me to want to get it anywhere near release date.
I don't want the Switch. I don't. There's nothing about the Switch, and this is a Nintendo fanboy saying it. There's nothing about the Switch that goes, you need to get this day one. Even with the Wii U, I don't know. There was something that just said, you need it. Not this time.
And I honestly feel like, because right now I have one pre-ordered.
You do. And I didn't want to mention that. I didn't want to call you out.
I said it on Sunday too. I have it pre-ordered. And as of right now, I think I'm going to keep it regardless, because if stock is low, I might just be able to flip it. But, almost certainly I'm going to keep my pre-order and I'm going to get it. And as soon as I bring it in, I'm like, all right, Shannon, here's my Switch. You're going to look at it.
No.
And you're just going to go,
Well, no, you know, that's not entirely fair, because I legitimately might look at the system and go, that's a cool piece of hardware. That's how they got me with the PS Vita.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the Vita going, that's a sweet looking piece
of
hardware.
Yeah, you and I did the same thing with the Vita. Like, we weren't going to get it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else got one. And we're like, that's encouraging.
Now, I'm going to post a question to Allie.
Okay.
Because she was afraid she wasn't going to talk much during the segment.
Okay.
You are a casual gamer.
Very much so.
You are an extremely casual gamer.
Yes.
Is there anything about the Switch that appeals to you? Like the 1-2 Switch stuff? Those are casual games.
To be fair, I've only seen the awful stuff.
But that's the entire 1-2 Switch game. Then that's what I'm asking. That casual tech demo that they're probably really hoping is going to push that system when people go, look what you can do. Did that impress you? Is there any part of you that wants to try that?
Let me reframe that question. Would you be more inclined to try it? To know that, okay, if I get this Switch, I get this 1-2 Switch thing. And then that's just something for me to mess around with while I already have it. Would that make you more inclined to...
Like, would I be more inclined to get the system if I got that with it?
Automatically.
Just for free. As a tech demo.
No.
Like Wii Sports.
Still okay. No.
Because
it doesn't appeal to you.
Mm-hmm. No, none of them seem interesting. The Quick Draw one is the only one that seems like an actual game. The eating contest, the point of an eating contest is for food.
And
one, who wants to, people don't like milking cows with an actual cow.
Tanner does.
And there's the one game that we haven't mentioned that I don't understand even more. Ping pong.
Yeah, I don't, how,
oh, yeah,
how
that confused the hell out of me.
Where it's like you have to listen to the sound cues? Are you kidding?
Yeah,
for
this
ping
is,
pong? Like,
yeah, no, that was silly.
Impossible.
The 1-2 switch is, I think we can all just agree and move past 1-2 switch. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible game. It should have been bundled with it as a tech demo.
It should have,
not
or
$50 standalone yeah. release.
Or yes. Like, I think Jesse said, on Monday, it should have been like Wii Play, bundled with a set of Joy-Con controllers.
That would have also been fine.
Yeah. That would be amazing. That would be like, okay, get like, a psychic controller, and here you have this fun little thing you can play.
Yeah, you buy like, cause, and lower the price for the love of God.
For everything. For everything.
Well, that's
I don't think the system should be $300 when you can get a PS4 or an Xbox One for $250.
Same. Yeah.
I
don't think you can get a PS4 for $250 anymore.
Oh, can you not anymore?
No.
Xbox One,
you still can. There's some holiday deals still going around.
You can get a PS4 or Xbox One controller for $60. Get that pro controller down to down from 70.
Yep. Yeah.
The set of Joy-Cons for 80. Like, I get it. You put a bunch of technology into this. It's
sell
technology
it
that no one wanted or no one asked for.
And that's what kills me about this is that Nintendo, ever since the GameCube, the 64, the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo were all a little bit revolutionary in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nintendo was the standard. It's the flag bearer. It's the one that started it all. Super Nintendo, better graphics, more buttons on the controller. It made sense. The Nintendo 64 added an analog stick, unheard of at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. The GameCube had the smaller system, did the little disc. It was different, but they tried something. And then the Wii came along. And it's like Nintendo lost their damn minds. They don't know what the consumer wants anymore.
That was the point where they decided, okay, we're not going to listen to what consumers want. We're going to tell the consumers what they want.
And the problem with that was that people ate the Wii up originally, like candy.
Well, the thing is, they advertised that as the real family-friendly party system.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Xbox and the PlayStation, which were more for the hardcore gamers with their first-person shooters and all this other stuff and all their violent games. And the Wii was, you can get your Nintendo games here, you can get your party games here, you can get your fun games. The Wii was fine in its own right.
The Wii was a good system.
The Wii was
a
good system.
Yeah.
And I know the GameCube had some really cool stuff too. Like, I want to say, Luigi's Mansion. I remember when that game came out, they talked about how the C-Stick would handle one axis and you would move with the left, like the C-Stick would hold the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And the left stick would actually move around. People lost their minds. Like, what? You're gonna what?
Yeah, Nintendo has always kind of been a leader when it comes to technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wii came out. I didn't agree with the system per se because by that time I had gotten into the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
It was the Nintendo console I played the least.
Yeah, like they were trying to hit a market that they got.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
the casual gamer, the shovelware.
But
and then they realized that they lost the hardcore gaming market almost completely. So they hit the Wii U, which was a marketing failure.
And I remember thinking, with the Wii U, is who is this designed for? I thought they're trying to bring back the hardcore gamers. And the screen was a good idea. Like, there was some cool stuff you could do with that screen. But by this point, people are so entrenched in PS4 and Xbox One, they don't really care about gimmicky stuff anymore.
Right.
The time of the Wii is over. Then the Switch comes out. And let me ask, who the hell is this for? Who is this for? It's too gimmicky to really get casual fans. It's, or to get hardcore fans. It's too hardcore to get casual fans, really. Like, this is made for that small niche of people that
still just diehard Nintendo.
Yeah, or
which that's a market that they're losing.
They are. Yeah. Like me. Mm-hmm. I'm a diehard Nintendo fan and I'm not getting the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
And especially with the Wii U, like, aside from it being marketing terribly,
mm-hmm.
It just, there wasn't enough there. Again, like, you didn't have, or not the Wii U, my brain turned off for a second, the Wii. They killed it with the casual party game market.
And it was cheaper.
But
oh yeah,
the Wii was cheaper.
That was the big thing. It was like $100 cheaper than one of the other systems.
But then with the Wii U, and it kind of felt like Sony and Microsoft caught up. because there's a bunch of different party family-friendly stuff available on all of those now,
yeah,
too.
The PlayStation did their thing with the they saw how popular the Wii was, mm-hmm. so they released the PlayStation Move, which, in fairness, was a complete failure.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft did the same thing with Kinect. And the avatars, which were basically Miis.
Yep.
And what they did was they took the good ideas that Nintendo had, and then they didn't do it better, but they had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no one will say that the Kinect or the Move was better than the Wii, and the Wii was terrible
to
begin
fair,
with.
I think that the Kinect was better than the Wii Motion stuff.
You think so?
I absolutely think so. Because the Wii Motion stuff, remember once everybody figured out that there was no 3D motion? Like, at that point, like, everybody just got bored.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't have to get up and do anything. I can just do it from my couch and kind of flick it and just win everything.
Yeah, or the games that required, you know, that seemed like they could be cool, like Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. A Zelda game where you can actually swing and stuff, that's great. When it worked.
But like, it did. It just, it was nowhere near good enough to be able to.
So, what the hell is the Switch for? Who, I mean, yeah, it looks cool. And I'm sure there are people out there, and I know people that are going to look at this and go, it's new, it's weird, I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask you, why? You know Nintendo's track record when it comes to weird things.
In my opinion, what Nintendo has seen is that everybody, especially from, they're the only ones in handheld. They're the only people that are really still in handheld. PlayStation has a joke of a console.
Legacy
like in the running.
System.
Yeah.
Legacy.
They made that a legacy system like less than 2 years after release.
Right.
It's dumb. Anyway, so Nintendo is seeing that they're like gaming companies in general are losing a whole lot of ground to iPhones, tablets, etc. They're losing it to that mobile market. So I guess what they're trying to do is give you a home console that you can also take on the go and actually play.
And good news, they know we're so entrenched in the mobile market, a major feature relies on our cell phones.
Yeah, there's some stuff they haven't even talked about yet, so then we'll talk more about the Switch in the future,
because
we don't know what the online service is like. You have to pay for it now, that's all we know.
Eventually.
Eventually.
And it's, from everything that they've said, it's locked behind a smart device app.
Yeah.
Which...
So you have to have a smartphone to use it. Remember... the Microsoft of Xbox thing that you could get on your phone.
Yeah.
And you could interact. There were certain games you could interact with if you had
smart glass.
Yeah. Which no one liked to use, honestly.
I mean, I thought it was kind of fun for
a little
bit. It was a
gimmick.
Yeah, it was a
gimmick.
Well,
now imagine having your entire online service behind that.
And see, here's what...
And they specifically said, by the way, that you could set up play dates or something with people.
Appointments.
What the hell are you trying to treat me like, Nintendo? I'm a full-ass adult.
It's who does Nintendo think we are? Like, is when you look at the commercials for the people playing it,
I don't know.
No one acts like that in real life.
Nintendo doesn't know.
So my argument for using that app, I did at least as long as this app exists solely as like the party management. So like, that's how you get into a party. We can talk. Like, we have Xbox Live Party or the, PlayStation Network Party. You can't really, since the way the system is set up where you have to dock it, it's a lot harder to set up, like, a headset or anything like that in it and keep it on the go because it's on the other side of the room, all that other stuff. So it almost makes sense there. And it's kind of an alternative, I guess, to people that could just use Skype. Or something like that on their phone. So that is okay as long as that's all that's on the app. It's just set up for the voice chat. It's got a couple of extra nice features. Like if you want to, like, so we do, you know, raid on this day, you know, just send out
a play
reminder.
Date.
Yeah. Set up a play date for it. You know, that kind of thing. It's dumb,
but
I could see some people using it.
No. And like you said, like when it's in the dock, you're on your couch, you don't want to have to go across the room. That makes perfect sense. I'm totally on board. Don't make me be holding the Switch in one hand and my phone in the other trying to get stuff set up when I'm on an airplane, like you say I'm going to be, at a party, like you say I'm going to be,
right.
At a barbecue outside where you think I'm going to be, where I'm going to be setting all of this up. Like,
also, are we talking any restrictions? Because Mario Run's still not out on Android. Are there going to be...
Which is fine.
Yeah, no, the only reason Mario Run isn't out on Android is because they were afraid people were going to hack it.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any fear of people hacking the Nintendo app.
Are you sure?
I mean, what would they have to gain?
Maybe free online play.
Yeah, like that's the only thing.
I'm dead serious because look, the Mini's been hacked. And it was never designed to be, possibly to be hacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's hacked. I know. Believe me. Every Nintendo handheld has been hacked. Believe me. I know. So what's to say that Nintendo's not going to be stupid and make it where you can hack their online service in a couple of different ways, whether you can play for free, whether you can mess up the service, DDoS attacks or whatever they're called. I'm not too intelligent on it.
I mean, they couldn't do that through, like, it's one of those things
they find a way. These hackers in Russia, they know how to do everything.
I mean, it just wouldn't make sense because that's not how a DDoS attack works. But the thing is, I'm sure there's some sort of verification. Cause I know even on the Wii U is hackable. You can do stuff with the Wii U, but you can't play. Like, I can do all sorts of weird and crazy stuff on Super Smash Brothers, but I can't go online with it.
But look at the 3DS. I can. With the games that I've downloaded illegally. Right.
But, like, that's not a paid service. So it would still check your account to see.
Neither is the Wii U.
Well, I know. But you can't take the hacked stuff into it. That's what I'm saying. So, like, like those kids that come into Gaming Grounds all the time, they have a hacked Wii U.
Right.
And they play with, like, all these crazy characters and stuff like that. If they try to go online, it doesn't work.
But I feel like you're giving Nintendo too much credit because, again, with my 3DS that is hacked, I can download games for free from their shop if I wanted to, which I don't because I don't have it. And I can also go online and play those games with other people that have legitimately bought the game, which, again, I don't do because I don't have it.
Right.
Legally. So what's to say that Nintendo won't screw up and someone will find a way?
I mean, yeah, if people find a way to get free games, like, that might happen.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that. What I'm arguing is, like, nobody's going to be able to get around the paywall.
Hopefully. Hopefully. And I don't know for sure. You may be right. You probably are. You're smarter about technical stuff than me. But I have so much faith in Nintendo.
Dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also fair. But I just don't see how they could.
You There's hope.
I mean, it doesn't hurt me either way.
Until you're playing. And then some guys on there with, like,
super hacked craziness.
Right. Like with the PlayStation 3 with Call of Duty. Remember how bad that got?
Yeah. And at that point, like, when PlayStation just straight up said, well, we can't stop it.
Yeah.
So we don't recommend you get Modern Warfare 2.
That's a great message to send to people. Yeah. Wow.
PlayStation, yeah, they straight up said, like, we can't stop it. So we just recommend don't play it.
Yeah.
Now, something that one thing that super bugged me about the Switch was the presentation itself. That first treehouse that they did.
Which I missed because we were recording
the Thursday show. I was home, I was watching it, I was sending like note by note pretty much to Nerd Up, just to the Nerd Chat, just because I figured that would be an easy way to be able to run down the stuff. The presentation was baffling to me. The first part made a lot of sense. You hit the price point, you hit the release date, you go over the hardware itself. Yeah, you needed to do that. That's great. Kind of sketchy that they didn't give us any of the actual specifications. Like, oh, this is going to run at, you know, 1080p.
Or what kind of processor it has.
All we know, like, NVIDIA is behind all of the hardware.
Right.
So I don't know.
But like, everything that I've seen.
Which is good. Public.
Which is good, but so far everything I've seen is at 10, when it's docked, you're maxing out at 1080p. When it's out, you're maxing out at 720. We're in a world of 4K now. That kind of hurts.
A little bit, like, especially for the
4K is not nearly as prevalent as it will be.
Right.
We're still in the very early stages of it, but that 720 out of dock.
It's Nintendo still playing catch up. Nintendo's a console behind.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the screen's only
basically
like 6 inches,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, it's not even like a full size tablet.
Mm-hmm.
There's math out there for being able to see at certain resolutions the size or the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at 6 inches, you'd have to be real close to see a difference between 720p and 1080p.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing between like 1080 and 4K. I think I remember the math was you have to have at least a 40-inch TV.
There was literally a guy that came into the store.
Which is nowhere near, you know, unreasonable. Yeah.
You remember the guy came in the store and showed us, like,
because you wanted to buy a 4K TV and I told you not to, and he was trying to argue
he was on
that
my side.
You need to
so
get
he
on,
had a chart showing
like,
you
how about no
how close you had to be to the TV and how big of the size had to be before you would notice the difference between 1080 and 4K.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there is math that dictates that. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Nintendo is playing catch up. This is the console that should have come out when the Wii U came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Wii U is the console that should have come out when the Wii came out.
The Wii U should have never come out.
Hardware wise, I mean.
The Wii U should have never come out.
Yeah, they should have called it something different or done something completely like, yeah, no, the Wii U was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was like, let's get the hardcore gamers back, but we don't want to lose the casual gamers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll alienate both.
Remember the Super Nintendo?
Oh, boy.
It was
do
so
I.
good.
So they get all of the hardware stuff out of the way. They talk about the battery life. They talk about the online stuff being a paid thing in fall, which again kind of is like, oh, well, it's not ready yet, so we can't charge you for it yet.
Right.
Then they start to talk about the games. First thing they show off is the 1-2 Switch. They failed.
What strong show.
Put your best foot forward.
They failed to mention that that is a $50 standalone title. Which, why would you bring attention to that? Then they talk about ARMS. Okay, that looks interesting. Like, you know, the with the new HD Rumble motion controls.
It looks fun.
Okay, you know, I would check that out.
Sure.
They say it releases in spring, not March 3rd.
Sure.
Okay, that seems weird. Hey, look, Splatoon 2.
Oh, cool.
New maps, new characters, new level, like everything's, it's new special abilities, awesome. Summer 2017.
Also, I want to point out, they've said it's not even Splatoon 2 really. It's Splatoon 1 with a fresh coat of paint. Do you get it? Because of the ink and the paint.
I mean, but
stuff?
It is Splatoon 2. Like, that's what it's they're, called they're flat 2. Out calling it that.
But it's mostly just the first game and, with extra stuff.
And even as opposed to like, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Which like, they're at least acknowledging it. Yeah. It's all the DLC, which is good. It's,
and then plus some extra.
Stuff.
Yeah,
plus cool. some new stuff, which is cool. Yeah. That's great. It's a game that's been out for how long now?
And it was good.
A couple years.
Year and a half.
Year and a half. Great.
Like that. Yeah. To be fair, PlayStation and Xbox, especially PlayStation, has made a, killing on re-releasing.
Oh, yeah.
Old games new.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. And I'm not faulting them for that.
Right.
What I'm faulting them for is they don't mention it during this presentation, for one. And two, it's an old game, not available on launch day. That doesn't make sense to me. So then they get into, then they show Super Mario Odyssey. I'm legitimately excited for that game.
I'll talk about that in a few minutes.
I know it's so weird to see him in like in New Donk City.
Woo! New Donk City.
The name of it. And him next to like normal people is.
Yeah, that's the dumbest. All right.
Is weird.
Yeah, just real quick. I won't take too much time because I know you got things, but I'm not excited and I'm a Mario fanatic. Mm-hmm. This game confuses me. Maybe I need to see more. Mm-hmm. Why is he with these normal people? Why is he jumping rope with them? Why are they not reacting to him? Why is his hat a thing? Why are we in New Donk City?
I'm not a fan of the hat having eyes, but I love whenever they showed that mechanic of him throwing it out there and using it as a platform.
That was cool.
I'm on board. That's awesome. That, you know.
Yeah, but of course they had to turn the hat into a damn character.
And to be fair though, the rest of the game, it didn't look like it was all going to be in that universe. Like there was a lava level and a creepy forest level.
Right.
And
it looked a whole lot like Mario 64, which is what they even compared it to.
Yeah.
Like
sandbox.
The sandbox style Mario 64.
Yeah.
Which, like, it's one of those things, like the way Mario 64 worked, you could go all over the place, mm-hmm. and then to get to the actual levels that you would play, mm-hmm. you'd go through the portraits.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they'll have something similar to that.
But did you know what they didn't have in Mario 64?
Regular people.
A completely alternate reality. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping there's a reason that you're there, like you get transported there and there are ways back to,
plus
like, the other levels.
Pit Bowser.
It's the Simpsons episode where Homer falls into the real world. Yeah.
Oh.
But you know what happened in that? Everyone reacted to this clearly CG person walking around, as opposed to this game where new donkers are just walking around and they don't know what's happening.
I love that. So then they show Super Mario Odyssey. That's a surprise. That's a legit surprise. Like, okay.
That's a new title.
Get
new
me
everything.
Excited. Holiday 2017. Cool.
Day one.
And then it really goes off the rails, at least for me. I hated the rest of this presentation where they're like, okay, guys, third party, Xenoblade 2, no release date.
Yay.
Just a teaser trailer. Fire Emblem Warriors, not even a real Fire Emblem game.
It might be. We'll find out more about that tomorrow.
Is this a Dynasty Warriors title?
Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem Warriors.
Who's it made by?
I think it's still just.
Is Bandai a part of it at all? Namco.
We haven't seen.
Because anytime
they haven't even said intelligence.
Because it's like Omega something, I thought.
Yeah, but whenever they put Warriors usually behind a title, that's because it's like a
Hyrule
collaboration.
Warriors.
Yeah. Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
Which, that's everything that I've seen is this is not a, this, I don't, they used a
we
term.
We get a treehouse tomorrow.
Yeah. They used a term, I don't remember
treehouse.
What it is. But it's
what they call it.
A treehouse of horror.
It's not like an actual Fire Emblem game.
Right.
Is what everyone is being
it's
led to
spin-off.
Believe.
It's
a
spinoff. Yeah. Everybody loves spinoffs.
But
I mean,
no release date.
Remember
no...
Frasier?
Frasier was great.
Frasier was great.
I will not have you cast aspersions. Frasier. But no release date. No, nothing. Just the one teaser. They say there's over 80 games in development from third party, including Dragon Quest, 10 and 11 in Japan. They made a point of saying in Japan. Which didn't you say those are already out as well?
I mean, like, those have come out in the past.
Yeah. So, and then, they get the one real brief teaser of Shin Megami Tensei follow up, Project Octopath Traveler from Square Enix. Mm. And then the two that really bug me are Skyrim. Just Skyrim.
Special edition.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, they confirmed, I'm pretty sure.
Cause I edition. Just looked it up and on the Nintendo website, it just said Skyrim.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I could have sworn I read
somewhere.
Because
nowhere did it say, nowhere in anything, any picture or anything.
It has to be.
You sound exactly like me, like an hour and a half ago, where I was slowly starting to doubt myself, but at the same time, I was like, no, it's gotta be the HD version. It's gotta be.
Cause I pulled it up for Jesse, and I'll pull it up right now, but our Wi-Fi is not super.
Our internet here is not super. Yeah.
But so it's Bethesda saying, hey, look, Skyrim. What year did that game come out?
2011.
Okay. 5-year-old game. Not a launch title. No release date. No release window. FIFA. They fly out a guy from America, from EA Sports. And he only talks about FIFA. He doesn't show.
They flew from Europe.
That's not better.
Yeah, no, you're right.
For FIFA, you don't show FIFA. You just show the logo. It's like, hey, we're bringing soccer. Neat, I guess. And Jesse, you're right. Like, it is the biggest sport in the world. FIFA sells crazy numbers.
Even here.
Even here. So that it's not that it's a bad game, but when you look at everything else at EA's disposal, I don't see how FIFA's the only thing that you show.
I want to point something out real quick to you. Okay. I'm on travelerstoday.com, and they've got an article about Skyrim. Mm-hmm. This is what they say. Apparently from all of the talk they've had with Nintendo and stuff like that, they say that they talk about the stuff they've added. This makes the Skyrim for Switch a toned down version of the recently released special edition. It is not a special edition. It is somewhere in between 360 and Xbox One.
It'll probably have all the DLC, but none of the graphics.
What's the point?
It'll have the PS3 level graphics.
What's the point?
That you've already played on PS3 and PS4. Well, or Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
They
and
said
PC.
Better than the original PC version, but not up to par with the new Skyrim Special Edition.
Which is unacceptable. I'm sorry. That's
unacceptable.
So, for a $60 release, yep. Not at launch, unacceptable.
And a game that you're hanging your hat on by going, look, we got Skyrim!
And then
Special Edition? Well, no.
Yeah. And then you end it. You end the presentation with a 5-minute, oh, well, we're going to talk about Zelda. Wonder when it comes out. Do you know? Does Reggie know? Screw Reggie. Does Miyamoto know?
Reggie doesn't have a soul at this point.
He sold it to Nintendo.
And then
it wasn't cheap.
And then the big reveal, the thing they hang their hat on, like, boom, this is the biggest news of all. Breath of the Wild comes out day one, launch title. Cool. This is literally the second game you've shown us that's coming out.
Well, also they said it was going to launch simultaneously with the Switch.
They did.
Several times before.
You know when they said it? They said it when they delayed the Wii U port.
Yep.
We already knew this. And if we didn't know it, you heavily suspected it because you have to. You can't just be like, yeah, this game was done a year and a half ago for one console.
Now hold on, Jesse. Can you think of another Nintendo system that came out that had Zelda as a launch title?
I don't like this bit.
And had nothing else going for it on day one?
I can.
What was it?
Oh, that was the Wii.
It was the Wii. The original Wii. Zelda. Twilight Princess. Day one launch title. You know what else I bought day one with the Wii? Monster Trucks. What was it called? Remember that? It was basically Excite
Monster
Trucks.
Jam? Oh.
Excite Trucks. Because it was supposed to be like That's Excite right. Bike, but with trucks. Those were the only two games really worth purchasing day one.
Then there was just a bunch of shovelware.
And now you know what you have with the Switch? The same thing. Nintendo was trying to capture that lightning again. Well, remember how well the Wii sold with Zelda as the launch title? That's all people want is Zelda.
See, but here's the thing. The Wii sold like gangbusters. I'm not denying that. I don't think Zelda is a strong enough franchise player because the Wii for Twilight Princess Wii sold 7.26 million copies on the Wii and then 1.3 for on the GameCube. That's not the numbers Nintendo's hoping for system-wise.
What's the window on that? Because I know for sure it sold more than that.
I mean, the best-selling game of all time is what?
I don't know.
Wii Sports. Legitimately. Isn't best selling game of all time.
Wasn't that the one that came bundled with the system?
Yes, and that's why. Because it came bundled.
that's cheating. That's,
but
and we mean
counts.
A whole lot of people still came in and bought it when they released it separately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we were constantly getting people asking about that because their copies would get scratched up or they lose it.
Nintendo was hoping that Wii Sports, which was basically a tech demo for the Wii, they're going to capture that same magic with 1-2 Switch. But you're not, because you know what Nintendo Wii Sports had, at least? Games.
Yeah.
I saw, like, I played baseball. I swung the bat and then my character would run. He didn't have any arms or legs, I don't think, but he still kind of hobbled his way over there, you know, McElreathing it all the way to first base.
No. So I don't know. I had a point I was going to make. I'm completely in the weeds on that comment now.
At this point,
just ignore it.
Zelda is not, I think Mario would have been the system seller.
Well, yeah, it's
Mario. If you would have come out of the gate saying, boom, new 3D Mario adventure, day one. They're not going to keep them in stock.
You know, Nintendo.
But you're showing us a game we already knew was coming. We already know is finished. And you're acting, you are parading yourself around. You're so proud of yourself. Because, hey, we did it. Yeah, because you said you're going, that's not special.
Nintendo thinks that Zelda is the same level as Mario. They really do.
And they're not.
It's not.
100%.
Zelda will sell to a hardcore group more than Mario will, mm-hmm. but Mario sells to everybody.
And don't get me wrong, I am not trying to slight Zelda in the slightest.
No, it's a great series.
It's a great series. Yeah.
But it's not Mario.
No.
That's like saying Gears of War. Gears of War is a great game, but it's not Halo.
Yeah.
I personally like Gears of War better than Halo, but I know that Gears isn't going to sell as well as Halo does because everybody's on the Halo train. Zelda's not going to sell as well as Mario. It's just fact. I'm sorry, but it is.
And so for them to make such a big deal about this press conference, and even the day two, like the big treehouse where they showed off actual games, kinda, they dropped the ball so hard. This, like Jesse and I talked about on Sunday, that everything about this presentation screamed, we're not ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
The online's not ready. You have three of your biggest titles coming in the fall. I don't know what it is about March 3rd that they have to get this console out.
And my only guess is, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or just when we were talking about it outside of it, is just that they said they were going to release the system in March. And they said we weren't going to get any more information until January.
Yep.
So this month hits, and like Nintendo people are just sitting there in an office like, all right, so we're going to unveil the Switch. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. What do we have ready for launch? Oh, we're actually going through with March release.
We thought that was a tentative title.
Just Dance. Which didn't get talked about at the presentation or the second day presentation.
It was just like you could see people playing it in like their treehouse demo.
Five games, there's 1-2 Switch.
Awful.
There's Breath of the Wild.
Good.
Which will be that's the one game everyone picks up.
Yep.
Bomberman R looks awesome.
Yes.
That's probably like if I end up getting a Switch eventually, I will try to find a copy of that.
It's Excite Truck. For this generation. Also, IGN said that playing Bomberman R hurt their eyes. The way the angles were and stuff, they said they couldn't play it for too long because it legitimately hurt their eyes from watching it.
Really?
So I don't know if that's just them, because that's always a thing.
Apparently the graphics were a whole lot like, it was like Super Bomberman on the Xbox 360 or Bomberman Live on the Xbox 360. Which, yeah, like it looked extremely similar to that, but it was a little bit more polished.
You talking about the one on Wii U? Or, I'm sorry. The Switch?
One, yeah,
but there's a lot of crazy camera angles and stuff that I saw.
It does, everything I saw did, like, instead tilted. Of it just being a squeeze, tilted.
I mean, that's the way it's always been. It's just now
has
this
it?
Is 3D.
No, not like this. We need to watch that video again, and we'll show you what to me. But it literally looks like instead of being top down,
because everything's a square and it's top down,
but it's like the camera.
But it's
kind
up
of,
and
yeah.
It's up and over.
Right.
Okay.
It looks weird.
Yeah.
It looks weird.
The other two launch games, Skylanders Imaginators, already out. Just Dance 2017, already out. I don't like.
Okay. So
there is. I guess they're just assuming that this is for the people who only have a Wii U, who haven't had a chance to play FIFA or Skylanders or.
So,
that was on Wii U.
I want to direct this to the people, and not Jesse. Jesse's excluded. The people that are still excited about the Switch, like, I want to know why, because I don't know why.
Yeah.
You can't explain to me what it is about the terrible launch titles, what it is about the system you don't know much, you don't know any of the specs on. Like, what is it that's got you going, oh my God, other than the fact that, oh my God, Nintendo has a new system out?
The one argument that I can see, and that I have seen, is that, okay, I have Breath of the Wild, that's going to occupy me until Splatoon comes
better
out.
Better games. Yeah.
And then Splatoon will probably occupy me until Mario Kart. And then Mario Kart will hold me over until
Smash Brothers and
Mario.
Years.
Maybe. And they're like, oh, well, E3's coming. Maybe we'll get more stuff at E3. Too late.
We never have before.
Well, yeah, well, yeah. Well, they always do their direct the same time as E3.
Well, they were actually in E3 last year.
Oh, yeah, they came back because they realized, oh, that was a terrible idea.
And they need to. You stop isolating yourself from the rest of gaming, Nintendo.
But you know what happens before E3? The Switch comes out.
Yeah. The hype train behind this, you would think it's the next coming.
Yeah. From Nintendo.
But.
From Nintendo.
In reality, this is going to be the biggest disappointment since the last Wii U? Nintendo console. Yeah.
And to be fair, like, at least they're marketing this one unlike the Wii U.
Oh yeah, like, this one, you know what it is. You know what you're getting.
They didn't call it the Nintendo Wii Switch.
Yeah, or anything. They completely ditched the Wii name.
Which, thank God.
Yes. Props. You got one thing right. Good job, Nintendo.
And to be fair, again, the system does look cool.
Yeah, okay, the hardware.
Like, I came away from this being, I did a 180 on the hardware itself.
Right.
I went in looking like that. Everything about that's dumb. Nothing about that excites me.
But you know what else had great hardware? The Dreamcast at the time. No one bought it. The Vita.
I love the Dreamcast.
The Vita was a great handheld.
Yeah.
With nothing to back it up.
With no support from third parties.
Yeah.
And well, because the problem is, like, as they were starting to gain some traction, like, PlayStation's like, nah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Basically, the Vita was Malibu, or the Vita was, Lisa Lionheart. And as soon as Lisa Lionheart got put in stores and everybody was like, oh my God, I want that, Nintendo put a new hat on Malibu Stacy and said, but look, the 3DS comes in this color now. And everybody's like, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it.
So yeah, like, and that was the same thing with the DS. Like, even when the DS came out, it was not popular. Like, it was less popular than the Vita when it came out. But they just kept it going by like, guys, we got Mario 64. Guys, we got Mario Kart. Guys, we got Zelda.
Hey,
and they just kept
going.
Remember
those games you played years ago?
And they just
they're
kept,
back.
Yeah, they just kept going and going with that first party support. And eventually the DS gained a whole lot of traction. It became one of the best selling handhelds ever.
And again, put Nintendo up for years. Thank God, because the Wii U didn't.
Because I mean, everybody was already sold on the 3DS or the DS when the 3DS came out.
Right.
It was fine. Like,
again,
it
3DS,
was,
great piece of console, except for the 3D part. That was a,
sometimes, like, some of the 3D cinematics are really cool.
It's another show for another time. Mario Land 3D was great.
I'm not gonna lie. I wish that the 3DS, if it, like, get rid of the 3D and just give me something that looks like a Vita game. I'd be way happier with that.
Well, in 20 years, you might get it.
Hey, I mean, doubt it, because by the PS5, I'm looking forward to the Super Mario collection.
On PlayStation?
To hit the PlayStation store.
Ah, another. Ugh. All right. We gotta wrap it up. We went way longer than you guys were right. You were right. We're at almost an hour and a half. Good job. Once you get angry about the Switch, it's hard to stop. All right, we got some fan feedback that I want to read off. Some people replied about this, and I got a big one from David Dillo. That sounded wrong. From Casual Geeks, he said the Nintendo Switch is an exciting concept. I also had to get this from him because he didn't want to talk about it. He's so angry. The Nintendo Switch is a very exciting concept from Nintendo that has been experimented by other companies like Nvidia recently. The concept has tons of potential, but will continue to be held back by Nintendo's legacy and outdated business practices. Yes. I think at launch it will be very successful in Japan, but the stateside will be lukewarm, similar to Wii U. To be fair, pre-orders are out everywhere. It's out.
It's going to be way better than the Wii U was. Because the Wii U, remember how easy that was to get, like, a week after release?
Not 32 gig. Man. Not for me.
I mean, even the 32 gig a week after release.
Yeah, I didn't wait.
Nope.
The reality of it is that the product should be coming out during the holiday season this year at the earliest and is not ready yet. The price point is coming out too high at $300 and should have been launched at $250. The peripherals are prohibitively expressive and hold back the potential even more. Worst of all, the launch window is way too sparse. There are no games. What the hell are you supposed to play on this thing for the first year? 75% of the games mentioned don't even have titles yet. Zelda looks amazing and the trailer was breathtaking, but that's the only major title slated for anywhere near launch. As always, there is always the possibility that Nintendo will succeed despite itself, and as a fan, I hope it does, but time will tell. I do know many people that think I'm crazy and that it has all it needs to succeed. And then Billy Hills said this and pointed up. So Billy Hills is on board. J.R. Davis.
He basically just kind of said, like, everything we've said over the last hour.
Yeah, that was basically Ace's whole argument right there. J.R. Davis kind of goes back to the comic thing real quick, and he says, the seduction of the innocent all over again. I don't know that reference. Is that a thing that happened? Seduction of the innocent. I'm assuming it's kids, like, with comic books. He says, everybody get ready for the second Silver Age of comics. Take that as you will.
I think that was just whenever, like, they blamed comics for the downfall of society.
Like video games, like movies, like music. It's a cycle, honestly. Also, the Nintendo Switch is an enticing idea, and I'm super interested in getting one of it. If it has third-party support, Nintendo was boasting.
It doesn't.
The prices of the accessories are the only drawback for me, but I can sort of get why the price is such, since the company is near the toilet at the moment financially. I wouldn't say that far.
Yeah. They're not doing great.
The 3DS and Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what's keeping them above water.
And Mario. Like, anytime they put out a Mario title, those Mario titles are as successful as, like, on one platform, not quite as probably, but as Call of Duty on multiple platforms. And if you have a game that sells
that can't be true, yeah, because there's not enough, because there's no Nintendo platform that has sold as many as multiple platforms put together.
I mean, maybe they might be adjusting for the fact that it's one system versus others.
Like, percentage-wise, like we talked about on Sunday, it's pretty much almost half. Like, if a new Nintendo first-party title comes out, roughly half of the people who own a Wii U are buying it.
Which is significantly higher number than, like,
percentage-wise.
Yeah, percentage-wise. Because you look at the number of people that own an Xbox One that bought Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. It was maybe 10%, but that was still several million people.
But if you look at the list of best-selling video games of all time, Mario is in the list, despite only being on one console.
They might factor it, unless they give you the cold
number. I assume they have to. I would say, like, Mario Kart Wii is the, like, fifth or sixth of all time. Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah. I mean, but the Wii is also one of the top selling systems.
But that is a list that includes Grand Theft Auto 5 at number four.
Which, again, was over multiple
generations. Yeah, I mean, that was released 5 times.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, New Super Mario Brothers on the DS outsold Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim across multi-platform. So Nintendo, like, on here, New Super Mario Brothers DS sold 30.79 million. Elder Scrolls Skyrim sold 30 million. So Nintendo is successful with their IP. Mm-hmm. They are. You can't say they're not. Anyway, yeah. Aaron Picard, Breath of the Wild looks like Miyamoto collaborated with Miyazaki. That's true. And again, Breath of the Wild looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
I got a couple more from Gaming Grounds site real quick, and then we're going to cut this thing off. Sean Haw, don't know him. Seems like a nice guy. I hope they clarify the online shop soon. I'm not holding out much hope, but it'll be nice to have some virtual console carry over instead of having to repurchase the titles again. Good luck.
Yeah, that almost certainly isn't going to happen.
Not at all. Good luck with that. Caleb Standridge says they need to rethink their paid online model. It has no inherent value without a bevy of online titles, not just a few first-party ones. And the free ROM for a month is a joke compared to PS Plus and Xbox Live.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
We mentioned that on Sunday, too.
And absolutely right. I told Ethan, hey, I need you to reply to this, and he sent this huge thing. I'm just gonna paraphrase. I'm going to just do the good ones. I really think the Switch has a lot to prove. The presentation excited me, and I can't wait for the games they show it off. Unfortunately, the problem for the Switch is that only Zelda Breath of the Wild will be available on launch day. And then he goes on to talk about being excited for the other ones, but like we said, they're not available. You can't promise what's going to happen a year from now when you're trying to sell me a system today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's terrible. And Benjamin Dordani says it looks really fun, but the overall value-to-price ratio is very poor. No pack-in games, expensive controllers, and less power than its primary competitors mean it could be difficult to justify purchasing one if you're not a diehard Nintendo fan, just like the Wii. Yes, it seems like so many people get it. Like, so many people understand the problems. And despite that, I guarantee it will still sell like crazy that first day. And then people will get disappointed. They're going to go on Reddit. They're going to go online and say, oh, this was a failure. Why did I buy this? And then people like us are going to go, you knew what this was before you bought it.
Or will they? Because people are still defending their Wii U.
That's really true. People keep talking about how, like, you know what? It had a rough release, but it was actually a pretty solid system.
Yeah, Smash was fun. Mario Kart was fun.
Mario Kart was, like, the first party IPs that they released on the system, really, really fun.
Just like every Nintendo console.
Yeah.
Like every Nintendo console.
That's one of those things, like, it comes at a given. But the problem is there aren't enough Nintendo IPs to justify buying a console.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you know what this is. This is a warning to everyone out there who's thinking about getting a Switch. You know what this is. You know what it's going to be. Yeah. Don't bitch about it when you buy it and you're disappointed.
And I still maintain, and I know there are people out there that disagree with me vehemently, that if Nintendo had created a console that they released it at the $250 price point that was effectively the same as an Xbox One S, but they had Nintendo IPs on it.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah.
I would trade in my Xbox One right now.
It makes you wonder why Nintendo, instead of going for the obvious route and getting the most bang for their buck and building will, they instead choose to be weird again and instead choose to do things that are...
And the argument for it is, well, you're not going to get people away from their PS4s and Xbox Ones.
And I disagree with that because just said, if you give me a system that I can play Overwatch, Diablo, Mario, and Grand Theft Auto
on the same system,
like console that I can just easily plug in, bring here, and play with you guys, play Battlefront, you have all of my money. Without, I have no need for any other system.
Without having to get out your damn phone to get on an online service to set up a play date to play with us.
Because honestly, like, if I made a list of like my top 20 favorite console exclusive IPs, the top half of that at the very least would all be Nintendo games.
Yeah, because Nintendo has built franchises.
Yeah, like Halo might squeak in a top 10 spot. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But
and so many of those Nintendo games from when I was a kid, this is the problem. So many of those Nintendo games when I was a kid that were really good were third party. When I think of the original Nintendo and I think of my favorite games, yes, Mario is on there. Zelda is on there. Yes. You know what else is on there? Castlevania. That's Konami. Ninja Turtles. That was Konami, actually. So without that third party support, you can't just leave it to Nintendo to run their own system.
Exactly.
You can't.
And that is exactly correct. So that's why I'm saying, Nintendo, just give me a Nintendo 1S. I don't even care if you rip the name off, and I even think the Pro Controller looks solid.
Yeah.
It looks like an Xbox One controller.
Call it the super duper Nintendo. Call it whatever dumbass name you need to call it to feel good about yourselves. I'll buy it.
Yeah, just give me like an Ethernet port, because that's another thing that I keep forgetting to mention that the Switch doesn't have again.
Wi-Fi.
Yep, Wi-Fi only. Bugs the crap out
of me. Because when you want to play online games, you want that Wi-Fi.
Especially when you're, you know, at an airport.
Yeah. At a barbecue.
Yeah. You want to use your neighbor's Wi-Fi from their backyard.
All right. Yeah. All right. We got to get out of here. I got a couple things real quick. I want you guys to go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. We're really going to start pushing the Facebook, more interactions on there. Not just automatic posting of the show. We're going to interact with people more on there. We got a lot of likes this week. We want to keep it up. So again, facebook.com/podzilla1985 is the best way to get a hold of us. Again, go to podzilla1985.com. You catch up on the old episodes. If you listen to this on iTunes and you might not even know we have a website, we do. Have we ever mentioned that? I honestly don't know.
We've mentioned the website before.
Yeah. I think we have, but
yeah,
if we haven't,
we absolutely have.
Podzilla1985.com. We have all of the episodes archived on there. You can listen to whatever you want. We also have the cast page where you can meet the people that are on the cast. It's a great site to go to. Go to redbubble.com. Look up Podzilla1985. See some of the merchandise that Lindsay from Sly Ducky Productions has done. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. We're working toward a YouTube channel. We need equipment. We're all broke. So anything that we can get through Patreon is well appreciated. It's the reason we have these nice microphones. It's why we have this great equipment. Whatever you guys want to do, we will love you forever. Jesse, what do they get when they donate to Patreon?
Well, any amount of money that you donate at all will forever get you on our website.
Absolutely.
And that's even if you give us a dollar and then never donate again.
If I had a dime for every time that happened.
You'd still be on our website forever. We're not going to remove you because you no longer donate. If you donate $10, like our good friends at Press Start to Join, we will actually plug something for you because we plug their show every Sunday on Nerd Up. They have, you know, their website, their show, their channel, etc. We plug it all.
Yes.
So yeah, if you've got something like that that you want us to discuss, and we do get, you know, people listen to us.
Yeah.
So
we're global, baby. That's not even a joke. And last thing, tomorrow night we're doing Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We got a lot to talk about Asa and Ali. It's going to be a big show. No pun intended.
Well,
we've got our first Hall of Fame inductee.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say who it is. You probably already know, but,
should we do it the WWE style?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's Kurt Angle.
Yeah!
But tune in tomorrow night for a shocking announcement regarding
Kurt
who
Angle.
The first WWE Hall of Famer is going to be.
It's true. It's damn true. Missed that. Missed saying that. ESPN published an article about Kenny Omega going to WWE. I know everyone knows that WWE is interested in people like that, but the fact that ESPN posted it, I just kind of want to mention that. TNA is gone.
Yep.
Not the company, just the name.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. And Randy Orton does some hot water in Jonesboro. You got to tune in tomorrow to find out what it is, though. Thank you guys for listening. Asa, Jesse, and Allie, thank you guys for being here for a giant-sized Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man.
Hey, that's copyrighted.
My bad. My apologies. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted.